Good evening. I'm so glad you're here tonight. Invite you to take your Bibles and find the book of Judges, please. The book of Judges. Again, the table of contents is available for those who don't spend a lot of time in that area of the Bible. Judges. You glad to be in God's house? Yeah. Me too. Thank God for all he has done and is doing. Amen. While you're finding Judges, find chapter 3. I need you to invite about 20 people to come Sunday to church and hear Miss Sarah share her vision and heart. Sunday is Sanctity of Life Sunday. We are a pro-life church, but we are like the rebel pro-life church. We're not the church that just holds signs in front of Planned Parenthood and then vote pro-death penalty. it's you know what? It's Pastor Jeff at livingwaterdayton.com. Just go ahead and send it, and we'll go back to the Bible and talk it over. I've been told over and over again, you should never say things like that. But you're either pro-life or you're not. And so we're pro-life from womb to grave. And so you want to march? We'll march. But then you can't leave people by the wayside. So we're gonna have us a good old time on Sunday talking about life. Life from beginning to end. And I think it's important that we understand that we are responsible for lives. We need to not only pay attention to our own, but for those who haven't made the best of decisions, Jesus died for them as well. Because FYI, none of us have made the best of decisions at times, right? Except Candace and Heather. I was going to say just Candace, and I happened to see Heather, because I didn't know you were here yet, so I about got in like some serious trouble. So invite folks who need to be in a place where they will feel accepted and that their life is valued. And just get them here, man, whatever it takes. Buy their lunch. I don't know. Do whatever you got to do. I just believe we should do anything short of sin to get people under the sound of the gospel. And yeah, we have our responsibility, of course, to share our story. But a lot of us, there's a lot of folks out there that it's not right thinking, but you know, the Spirit of God has not illuminated things into folks who are not walking with Jesus, right? So it's okay that we're not going to argue with anyone, but there are folks that truly believe they have to be in church to be saved, to be rescued. So instead of arguing with them about it, why don't we just bring them? And then we'll let God just take care of everything else. So, get busy from now till Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I gave Trey some money. He gonna let me lead worship on Sunday. I can't wait. Did you find Judges yet? You found chapter 3? There's a whole lot of stuff going on. If I'm too deep, let me know. I'll dial it back a notch. But there's just a whole lot of stuff going on. And yet, you ever be reading and then, like, just this bizarre verse just jumps out of nowhere because it shouldn't be there, and it says like tons, but it's one sentence long, and that's it. That's what we got going on right here, and that's what we're going to talk about in light of Sunday. I'm gonna prep you for Sunday surgery. Okay, let's pray together. Before we pray, I believe I sense a couple of heavy burdens. I don't know who. Who's got something they need to share that we need to pray over tonight? Just speak up. Give me a couple. Well, you will be covered in prayer. We're going to pray for you in a minute. Pray for Sarah as she prepares.
I have some family that I've invited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, he's going to move. Right on. Let's just believe it now. Let's just claim it. It's going to happen. Who else? Just something you feel needs lifted up to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let's remember Xavier. Anybody else? God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house again. We thank you that we are free to worship you and talk openly about you and pray to you. And we thank you so much for that. God, we lift up Sarah to you. God, we know you'll be with her. I just pray, God, that you would just bring a peace upon her that she's just never experienced before, that she will be able to share her heart in a way that is exactly what you want her to say. God, we thank you that Sarah is part of our family. We thank you that she is in your kingdom, of course, but Lord, we thank you that she found a home here. She's inspired us. I pray you bless her. Open up the windows of heaven and just pour out on her. And God, we know that there will be people here Sunday that need resurrected because they are dead in their trespasses and sins. So what better day to have new life birthed than on a day where we're going to celebrate life? God, I pray that you will prepare hearts now for friends and family members that have already leaned into the invitation. and they have either said yes or they've said maybe and kept the back door open just in case. But God, for those that will come, I pray that a spirit of conviction will draw them and they will say yes to you, God. And they will be born again in new life. And God, you know everything that Xavier is going through. And God, you know everything that he needs. And God, we all have a Xavier in our life. Someone who is just going through that wilderness season. Their fault, not their fault. Everybody's fault, nobody's fault. God, it just doesn't matter. What matters is that you radically invade the situation and their life. And just breathe life into them. And God, if you choose not to change situations or circumstances, we ask that you would change hearts. Make us strong so we can do the work that you've put in front of us. Make us courageous. And God, we bless the reading of your word. And as we approach this story, this one verse, we ask you to speak to us. We want to hear from you tonight. And you get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Judges 3 is kind of going through some individuals that did some pretty awesome things. Judges is an interesting book. I encourage you to read it. It is not boring at all. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of Judges. This isn't the verse we're going to spend some time on, but it says, "These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the ways in Canaan." And then it goes about talking about individuals. Names, names. Names, genealogies. Names, family trees. And it is so exciting to read it, but you can kind of get lost in all the names. It's kind of like, you know, reading Matthew 1. There's a lot of begats there, but they're there for a reason. And it's good to take the time to trace it back, but you do that on your time. He goes on to say he did this to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The Philistines were a group of individuals that just haunted the children of Israel. A lot of it was their fault, the Israelites' fault. Even David went and hung out with the Philistines when he shouldn't have. And if I had time, I would unpack the bad habits that he adopted while he was with the Philistines. It was the reason that the gentleman died while he was trying to bring the ark back to God's city. Because God told him how to bring the ark into the city, but he decided he was going to get a new cart and some oxen, and that ain't how God told him to move it. So when it got shaky, someone who thought they were doing the right thing did the wrong thing, but not at his fault, at the fault of leadership. And because of that, he was just moving it just like the Philistines were moving things on new carts. After that incident, David decided, I think we should sacrifice a little more. And it became a bloody mess. I say that to say the Philistines were treacherous to the children of Israel. They were warriors. Their army was incredible. There's one Philistine you might have heard of. He's a big guy. And he didn't speak well of God's people. And David, as a young man, as a teenager, as a really a kid, he wasn't even a teenager yet, he was able to take down the Philistine giant by the name of Goliath, because he asked one question that we're going to ask tonight, and then we're going to pray. We're going to ask this question, and then we're going to pray. No, we're going to ask the question. I'm going to read a verse, and then we're going to pray. When David ran out to his brothers, who were in hiding, they weren't fighting. They were hiding. They were probably crouched down behind a rock or bushes or something, and feeling all brave. And at the same time, they weren't doing nothing to help the situation. So David comes up. His daddy told him to take the warriors, the army, the fighters, particularly his brothers, some food. And so he gets there, and he's confused. David's confused. He's like, why are y'all letting this guy talk like this? And then he asks a question. This is Wednesday, so you should know this question. You're my Wednesday crowd. You're full of church kids tonight. So what was the question David asked? When he was confused, and he's asking his brother, why ain't we fighting? He asked a question. What did he ask? Man, I ain't got nowhere to be, so it's okay. We'll take all night. You know this question. What did he ask? He does. And then he says a very pertinent question. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose? He questions why no one's fighting. Why are you not? Why are you letting this Philistine talk to you guys like this? And then he says, is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose? Is there not a reason that you should be engaging in the defeat of the enemy? You clearly aren't getting the job done. And it'd be one thing if you guys were just at a stalemate and there was never going to be a victor. So, you know, you just shake hands and you go your separate ways. But that ain't how it was. No, the giant was taunting God's people. And not just taunting them, he was threatening them. And he was just emasculating them. And he was being very demeaning. And he wasn't a nice guy. And so David goes up and he asks, is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose? Don't you guys have a reason to fight? Is there not a cause? We're coming into Sunday, which is where we're going to celebrate life from womb to grave. And one of the things that causes people to not move forward in their walk with the Lord is that they can't grab a hold of their purpose. They show up for battle, man, and they're dressed for war. They're even equipped. They're empowered, but they haven't answered the question, is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose for me to engage right now? Is there not a purpose? Is there not a reason that I should be rolling up my sleeves, risking everything, stepping out in this valley and getting the job done? Is there not a cause? And if I would pass this microphone around and ask you to tell me why you're here and tell me, you know, what your purpose is, you would probably speak to your dreams, man, your what you believe God has called you to do and become, and I think those are all right answers. But even knowing it isn't enough. David could have said, is there not a cause? And then went back to daddy's place. And he would have done exactly what his daddy told him to do. He wouldn't have been wrong. But yet, it's one thing to know your purpose. That's step one. And it's another thing to be willing to take that awkward, weird first step into your destiny. So out of nowhere, keep David in your mind, because we're going to go back to him in a minute. Out of nowhere, in Judges 3, one time, there's a guy mentioned. Go down, if you will, to verse 31. There's a guy here in this story by the name of Shamgar. Shamgar. And after Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. Your translation probably says, and he too delivered Israel. If your Bible says that, raise your hand. Deliver, yeah, that's New King James says delivered. I grabbed my New International Version off my desk. Same thing. He saved Israel. This Shamgar character. Notice, he's not a warrior. He's not in the Israel army. He is untrained. But he was able to recognize his enemy. And he had to have asked himself, is there not a purpose or a cause? You say, Jeff, it doesn't say that. No, I know, and I'm not adding or subtracting from the word. Common sense would dictate he had to have asked himself that, because what you've got is a farmer who said, oh, no, you don't, Philistines. And all he had was an ox goad. Say, Jeff, this is 2018. It's been a while since I've led some ox. Can you help us out with this ox goad? Sure, I got you covered. On one end of the ox goad was a point. And you would stick the ox and make a move. On the other end of it was kind of this, like a hook thing. And it was used to clean dirt and clay and mud out of the plows. And your Bible says that Shamgar saw some Philistines coming, and he had a decision to make. The enemy's on the way. I recognize the enemy. I'm really not trained to do anything about this. I should probably get a hold of somebody way better equipped than I am to handle this situation. But because there's a cause, because I know my purpose, because this is bigger than me, and if I were to go down swinging, I went down for a cause. Now, we don't know, and when I say we don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but historically, we know that Shamgar had a family, and Shamgar actually wasn't some guy that was living in, you know, just poverty levels. I mean, he was a guy who, he had some oxen. He used them to plow, so undoubtedly he was raising some sort of food for him and his family. Extra-biblically as well, and historically, we know that he had some relatives that fought in the army and lost their life. I'm going to say that again. It could have been a brother. It could have been an uncle. It could have been a niece. There was someone in his life that the enemy had tangled up to the degree that they stole the life from the one that he loved. So when the Philistines come over the hill, he didn't have to discuss this with anyone. He didn't have to consult anyone, get permission, because he had a cause. His greater purpose, even greater than defending and delivering Israel, although he did. I love the way that's worded. And he too delivered Israel. You don't see but a couple folks in the scripture that delivered Israel from bondage. I mean, we all know Moses, right? So we'll just use him just for the sake of time and not digging too deep into this Old Testament story. Let's just say, we'll just use Moses as an example, who was the deliverer. He is kind of compared to and put on the same plane as Moses, the deliverer. Now, what did Moses have in his hand when he's telling God, I can't do this, man. I excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. And God, in his infinite wisdom, every time a question gets asked, not every time, most of the time a question gets asked, a question is returned. And he looked at Moses and said, what do you have in your hand? What did he have? Yeah, that's all he had. Basically a stick. And he has him throw it down. It turns into a snake. Pick it up again. He picks it up. Turns back into the staff. Unqualified. But knew there was a purpose. Knew there was a cause. And knew his purpose. And knew who he was. Shamgar. Wasn't going to stand for the enemy getting another family member. Shamgar had it up to here with the Philistines coming in and destroying households. Shamgar had enough. He didn't have any spears. He didn't have any shields. He didn't have any weaponry, so to speak, because he wasn't trained in that field. But what he did have was what he had in his hand. And what motivated him to get engaged was the cause. Understanding the cause will reveal your purpose. And when you really get a vision of the cause, you will literally change the direction and the course of your life because of the cause. And you will begin to walk in and identify your purpose. Because see, let me ask a question rhetorically, just so that it'll just mess with you the rest of the night. You love me, right? I'm in the right place, right? You're okay. We kind of pushed the envelope a little bit. Are you okay with that? Okay. I wasn't sure if you changed since Sunday. You got fickle on me or something. Let's go back to that pro-life thing. If we, because outwardly it looks like the thing to do, for those listening across the world via podcast, I'm moving my fingers up and down with air quotes. In Arthur fashion. And if, let's say, we did protest Planned Parenthood or insert name of an abortion clinic in your town, if we have done that and we have humiliated some young girls and we have embarrassed them and we freaked out some little kids and gave them nightmares with our graphic posters, which, don't do that. No, that's dumb. And if you want to discuss that, we can discuss that. But let's use some common sense, man. for 5 seconds, put yourself in that young lady's shoes. Because she don't know what to do. Instead of trying to get her to fall in love with Jesus, let's show her unconditional Jesus love. Okay? And because she'll probably be alone or with her friend. The dude, he's moved on. So let's say that we rally together, and we hold hands across the street, and we join in a hymn, and we lift it up to the heavens, and man, we stop one person from going in. We have saved a life, and the baby's born. And none of us, none of the church, this is hypothetical, none of the church sees a cause, therefore they don't walk in their purpose, and they think the cause ended, and God gave them two thumbs up because they marched. And so they announce on Sunday after the high fives how many people showed up for the march. But we don't remember the girl or the baby that she gave birth to. If the baby, you might want to put your seatbelt on right now. If no one gets to the baby as the baby grows and loves the baby and shows Jesus love to the baby, and the baby finally comes to a place where it is old enough to understand that he or she has sinned and needs Jesus to forgive her of her sins. If that never happens, if the church's cause was to show everybody that we believe babies should be born and not killed, which kind of should go unspoken, but if that is the cause, and this baby grows up and never receives Jesus, and we all know that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this is the... And then that baby, who has grown now into an adult, and the life has been taken from the baby, and the baby goes to hell because, FYI, you got two choices. Your Bible says, a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, the King James says. If you thought your cause was to speak through a bullhorn and scream at kids to try to save the baby's life, but nobody gave a rat's behind to minister to the baby and to the young lady until it grew up into the nurture and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and received Jesus as his or her personal Savior, and they die and they go to hell. What have we saved? The church's cause has to be bigger than the womb. So, Shamgar is looking farther down the road. Shamgar can't bring back the family members that he has lost. But Shamgar says to himself while he's out in the field, "You ain't getting any more." So he took what was in his hand, and it was the ox goad, and as they're coming over the hill, I can kind of imagine the Philistines looking like, "Where's, who's here to fight us? This guy?" It's kind of what Goliath said, right? There's nobody here to fight. So Shamgar goes out, your Bible says. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath. And he, I don't know how he did it. I wasn't there. I'm old. I ain't that old. He might have took, I don't know, in my cartoon imagination, man, this dude is Bruce Lee with an ox goad, man. I mean, I could just, I don't know. I don't know how God empowered him, but my God would have done that. My God would have turned him into Iron Fist. Any comic book fans in the house? Okay, so just Google that. So I don't know how he did it, but he took out one, and he took out another, and he took out another. Notice he never went backwards. Took out another. Again, I don't know how. Took out another. Took out another. You think he got tired? Heck yeah, he got tired. You think he got messy? One by one, because he knew there was a cause, he immediately knew his purpose. And his purpose was, I can no longer be silent. I can no longer stand by and let the enemy come and take another one of my family. I can't do it. I can't do it. I've not been to seminary. I get it. I know. I didn't go. I've only been saved 3 days. I get it. But when you know there's a cause, it will call you to action. Here's what I want you to pray about tonight. This guy in our story, just one verse, this Shamgar character, who, when the dust settled, 600 Philistines were stacked on top of each other. And he wiped off the end of his goad, scraped the flesh off the hook, put it over his shoulder, and walked back and got busy. Now, Shamgar is a lot like what people want to be in the church. But to accept the realization that there is a cause, knows that it, we know that it is going to demand change and sacrifice in our life. We know that. So we know there's a cause. We know people are dying and going to hell. We know that people need the love of Jesus. We know there are people right now, tonight, that are hungry in our town. And not just because they chose not to eat. There are people in our town that need Jesus. There are people on your block that need Jesus. We know there's a cause, but we would rather, symbolically, hypothetically, we'd rather hold the sign and kind of yell the message at them and think up some new method of getting it out there instead of whatever you have moving in your purpose. 600 Philistines. I need you tonight to pray for God to answer the question for you. Is there not a reason to fight? Is there not a cause? And I'll just tell you right now what his answer will be so you can expedite the thing. He's going to say, uh-huh, there is. And you're going to say, I thought you were going to say that. And then he's going to say, then why did you ask me? And you're going to say, because I hoped you would say something different. And then there'll be silence. And then you'll be like, oh no, I went too far. You're going to ask him to answer the question, is there not a cause? See, because when you understand there is a cause, man, I'm just going to lay it out there. When you understand there's not a cause, coming to gather with a few of God's people and reading one verse and reading about some dude with courage that I wish I had, that won't be an inconvenience to you. And you're like, in case you didn't notice, we're here, bro. No, I get it. I get it. And I'm a firm believer that God does not take attendance. So this is not we're better than anybody else who isn't here. I'm making a point to hopefully make a change to say that when you understand there's a cause and God reveals that cause to you like God revealed the cause to David because his brothers were blinded to the cause. When you're blinded to the cause, you'll go out on the battlefield with all of the people around you that go out on the battlefield, but you won't fight. You'll hide. You're like, I'm not hiding. If you're not fighting, you're hiding. Well, no, I'm in training. Well, you don't need training. What you need to do is answer the question that God's going to ask you tonight. What do you have in your hand? In other words, what are you good at? What do you have? What's your passion? What's your purpose? I want you to ask God to answer the question, is there a cause? And then I want you to ask, what's my role in it? And when he tells you your purpose, let me give you some elder advice. Just don't say nothing back. Don't argue with him. And see, because some of you are going to hear from God and you're going to say, is there not a cause? And he's going to say, yeah, look around you. And he's going to, some of you he'll give visions to of things that you didn't see before you opened yourself up to see the cause. And when you see the cause, it's going to scare the junk out of you. And so you're going to want to approach the cause in some way that you are good, skilled, or trained in. That's the natural human way that we approach problems. Hello. But just stay long enough to let him tell you what he needs you to do. Shamgar, by the way, is my new hero. Don't raise your hand. Is there anybody in your life that needs delivered out of the hands of the enemy? I know that's one of those dumb preacher questions when you're like, well, there's 30 seconds. I'll never get back. Yeah, you have those people in your life. At the risk of sounding like I'm trying to use guilt as a motivator, and that's why I ask you, did you love me and trust me? Because guilt's not a motivator, and I don't try to guilt nobody into anything. But we got to deal with this, okay? Because we're going to talk about life next week or Sunday. And so when we're talking about life, your life must have meaning and purpose, or you can't protect or save other lives. And here's the coolest part. It takes all of us, All of you won't have the gift that Candace and Trey and the rest of the band and Ryan have, where you can lead in worship and just, man, we can get lost in worship. That might not be your thing. Maybe it's something else. Ask God to show you what you're... When you're sick to death of the enemy taking those you love, tricking them, lying to them, then you will take this implement that was a farming tool and you will whack some Philistines until they are heaped in a pile. And it doesn't say that afterwards Shamgar was taken up into heaven on a magic carpet and he met Jesus face to face and they had a... No, it doesn't say that. The implication is that afterwards he just went back to life. He had to plow around the Philistines, probably. The garden looked kind of funny from that night on. What's in your hand? God said this to me, and I literally LOL'd. I was just reading that verse, and I've just read that verse over and over and over and over and over and over in a bunch of different translations, just reading it, and just letting God speak. And he said, he brought me back to David. That's why I opened with David. And he said, you put a slingshot in a young boy's hand who has no regard for God's creation, no empathy, sympathy, or compassion for God's planet that he graciously allows us to live on. You put a slingshot in that kid's hand, and he's just going to start pelting birds out of the tree. You can take the same slingshot, put it into a young man's hand who has all of that tucked away because mom and daddy taught him that we are responsible for this earth. We are caretakers. It's in your Bible. I'll show it to you sometime. But he's got a rebellious spirit. Like Jeff. Like you. And he just busts out windows. I've done that. There's something about that that's just so fun. But then I got saved, and I know Candace has her head in her hands. Well, mom's not here. She's at work, so mom's is not giving me one of these, so I'm just going to go. There's something about it. Oh, okay, yeah, mom junior, I forgot. Okay. You put it in another kid's hand who has another cause, but not the cause, and he's just busting out windows. But then you put the same slingshot in the hand of a young man who understands the cause, and it isn't used to kill birds, and it's not used to bust windows. It is what brings down giants. What was the difference? Same age boys, same equipped, same empowered. The difference is they knew there was a cause. David knew there was a cause. And when he understood there was a cause, he got a revelation of his purpose. And the rest, as they say, is history. What are you alive for? It's okay that you're not under these lights. It's okay. They're hot anyway. You're not missing nothing. It's okay that, as me and Bubba used to always say, that you're not an upfronter. It's okay. I think about the burden my brother has for the young man Xavier. He recognizes there's a cause. There's a cause. He made that known to us. He was carrying that burden for that young man, Xavier. Now, because that cause has been revealed, now a purpose must get revealed. Or what are we praying for? Are we just praying that haphazardly somebody accidentally trips into him at the Starbucks, spills their blonde espresso latte on him, and they get into a conversation and miraculously navigates down to the real cause? Is that what we hope happens? Or are we going to take the slingshot or the ox goad and say, enemy? Hey, Philistine, hey, devil, you're not getting him. You're not getting him. And here's why you're not getting him. You're not getting him because I know there's a cause. And it is that life is precious. Life was meant to be lived with Christ. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. My father, in his infinite wisdom, God rest his soul, all over this country as we toured together, he would say every night we played, tears running down his face. My daddy knew there was a cause. My daddy was an alcoholic. And in front of his couch, Jesus miraculously saved him. And at that moment, took alcohol out of his system. And he never even desired a drink. In fact, when he smelled it, it made him sick. He knew there was a cause, and it was to rescue those like himself. I watched him tear up a great record deal contract because the A&R man of the label said, you'll never have, thought he was encouraging Dad, you'll never have to play in those little bitty churches again. I'm going to get you on some of the biggest. And Dad said, whoa, wait, those are my people. They deserve to hear the gospel. They deserve to hear what God did for me. No, man, you won't make any money going there. My daddy picked up that contract and ripped it in half. And I was in awe, not in the good way. I was in awe. Although I was a young man, I was 9, sitting on the arm of his chair. And I'm thinking, seriously, Dad? This was our ticket, bro. But see, he knew there was a cause. And my daddy, with a 6th grade education, could play the junk out of a guitar and sang like an angel. So, that was his ox goad. And his purpose, until the day he died. And you say, well, now you're just kind of exaggerating to make your point. No, I was standing there the day he died. And me and the band were scheduled to play in Salina, Ohio. We had a weekend there where we were leading a youth conference. We were leading the worship and I was speaking. And I told Daddy, I said, Dad, I'm going to call Bubby. I want to tell him he can either go, he can call Dougie and have him stand in for me, But I said, I'm not going anywhere. And I said, I'm going to just ask Bub to just cancel this run. I'm just going to ask him to cancel it. And my daddy raised up in bed, which he had not done in a while. He raised up in the hospital in the bed and said, boy, I've never canceled a date in my life, and you won't either. Here's what he said to me. Somebody in Salina needs to hear what you're going to say to them, what God has given you. He said, go. Go. And I said, okay, I'll go. If Trey was still in the room, I would have him tell you the rest of the story. It was full on revival pandemonium. The number of adults and teens that came to know Jesus, all I could do was stand and weep because Dad was right. He knew there was a cause, and he imparted that cause to me. And so we use what's in our hand. Don't be like me. I don't want to be like you. You sure don't want to be like me. Let's be what God has designed us to be. Do you know there's a cause? What is your role in it? You all have a slingshot or an ox goad. What you gonna do with it? I'm gonna pray. And then I'm just gonna ask you to ask God that question. When you're done, when you've heard from God, you're dismissed. Last one out, turn out the lights. Father, in the name of Jesus, raise up some Shamgars. Lord, I ask you that you would reveal to us the reality that there is a cause. And the cause is not to pretend like we're fighting in a battle, but we fight for the cause. We don't get in a group so that people think we're fighting for a cause. We get in a group so that shoulder to shoulder we can march together with whatever is in our hands to defeat the enemies, because daggone it, I'm tired of the enemy taking mine and these friends of mine's family and friends and lying to them and getting them addicted and getting them neck deep in something they feel they cannot get out of. Oh, but God, you came down in the pit, the miry pit, and you brought me out, and you set my feet on the rock, and you put a new song in my mouth. And that new song is my purpose, because you have revealed the cause. May we truly be men and women who live so that others can live the abundant life. Remind us it goes so much farther than the womb. It goes so much farther than an infant or a toddler, or adolescents. We must be fighting to rescue lives, because that is the cause, from cradle to grave. Hear our prayers, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name.